great that you could all come this evening. It's lovely to see you all. And I hope that now you're able, you've had something to drink. I hope you're able to switch off and unwind a wee bit after a long day. And for me, Mondays are generally always long days, aren't they? They come after Sunday. You end Sunday and you're feeling pretty refreshed. You've maybe been to church Sunday evening. You go to bed with that kind of warm, holy glow. And then you wake up Monday morning and suddenly everything, you're frazzled, you're stressed, and you forget just what you learned the day before. And I work in a church, and that's the same for me, okay? So, but basically, the minute we wake up Monday morning, we're rushing from one minute to the next. There are lots of things that need to be done and that weigh in our minds constantly. So whether we're looking after children or husbands, caring for elderly parents, caring for friends, trying to be involved in your local church. And that's aside from all the responsibilities and pressures you face the minute you get into the office door. And trying to juggle all these things can be very difficult and stressful, can't they? However much we'd like to cut back and have more time to spend on the things that we consider important in life, it's very difficult. Because those are the responsibilities, the things that we have to do, not even the things that we'd like to do. And I think the juggling is even more stressful here in London, with the rush to get to work, making sure you get to the train on time, pushing past people to get onto the Northern Line. The other end, you arrive hot and sticky, only to find a mountain of emails waiting for you, your answering machine is beeping, your boss is in a bad mood. And that's just before you've had your first Starbucks of the day. And we know this frantic pace of life isn't good for us. We know it makes us feel frazzled and stressed. It makes us feel maybe angry or frustrated at those we love, and even depressed at guilty at not being able to do more. There's a female prime minister of Israel in the 1970s called Golda Meir. And she said, "At work, you think of the children you've left at home. At home, you think of the work you've left unfinished. Such a struggle is unleashed within yourself. Your heart is rent." And often I think it's our relationship with God that can suffer the most. With tiredness, with lack of time, the constant interruptions of emails and phone calls, all those things make it really difficult to keep focused on them during the day, don't they? And any good intentions that we have, maybe to pray or read the Bible on the tube in the morning, they're often distracted by not being able to get a seat, or by the large person next to you who insists on humming to himself, and the person who smells a bit, and all those different things. So the question is, though, with lots of different responsibilities to juggle, lots of things we need to do each day, how do we stay focused on what is most important? And how do we know what is the most important thing of all? Well, that's the battle a woman named Martha was facing when she had a visitor come to her home. So we're going to read then some verses from Luke's Gospel, and Hannah is going to read them for us. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 41.
Can you hear me? Is that all right? Yeah. Reading from Luke chapter 10, verse 38. "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'"
And on your tables, you've got a short handout, just the points that we're covering tonight, and that'll just help to know where we're going. So first of all then, looking at Martha, right responsibilities can lead to wrong priorities. Right responsibilities can lead to wrong priorities. You read those verses and it's a very familiar scene, isn't it? You've got guests coming to visit and you want everything to be just right. So Martha, good woman, she's made her lists. She's been up since six. She's been hoovering, she's been dusting, she's been polishing. She's got the flowers in from M&S, she's got the meat from Waitrose, and has got the perfect pudding recipe from Nigella. She's got lots to do, not much time to do it. So it's a very easy for us to feel sorry for Martha, isn't it? You just think, the poor woman. No wonder she's feeling a bit frazzled. And things seem even worse when she turns around and sees her sister just sitting there, perfectly relaxed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Can't she see that of all the preparations going on, yet she's just sitting there? You can just imagine the thoughts that are going through Martha's head, can't you? And the kind of face she must be making. My mother is a very patient woman, but I could always tell when she was slightly impatient because she would just kind of... And you know whenever she does that, you don't mess with her and just cut her away. And I think that's the kind of face that Martha must be making. And just look at the way that she speaks to Jesus then in verse 40. She says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." So it's clear what she thinks of her sister's decision. See, Martha is the one trying to serve Jesus by welcoming him into the home. Martha is the one going to all the effort. Martha would love to be able to sit there and relax and listen to Jesus as well, but there's so much that has to get done. So doesn't Jesus understand? Doesn't he care? Now we know that Martha's frustration is understandable, isn't it? Because what she's doing, welcoming Jesus into the home, giving hospitality, those are really good things that to be done and things that have to be done. Yet, if you look down at verse 40, Luke describes Martha as being distracted by all the preparations. And that word is key because if she's distracted, it means that she's distracted from remembering what the number one priority should be. So in all the good things that Martha is wanting to do, she ends up failing to do what is most important. And that struggle, that kind of tension is really familiar, isn't it? Because there are continually demands being placed on us, many of which are good. You have your deadlines at work. You have pressure to spend more quality time with friends and family. You've got constant requests to help with things at church. So we all have lots of right responsibilities in our lives. But often we can be so taken up with the good things we want to do that we're distracted from doing the one thing that we need to do. And that's what Jesus goes on to say in Martha in verse 41 to 42. If you just look at these words. So Jesus answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And that brings us on to our second point. Our top priority must be to listen to the words of Jesus. So even though Martha is having a bit of a go at Jesus, even though she suspects him of not caring about her situation, Jesus responds to her with tenderness and understanding. You can just imagine the tone. "Martha, Martha, you're anxious, you're troubled about many things." See, Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha or even mention her frustration. He's very patient. But instead he reassures her that he knows full well that she's feeling worried and upset. He understands how she's feeling. Yet still he corrects her priorities. You see, he says one thing is necessary, and it's Mary he's chosen what is good. So Jesus is saying Martha was wrong. She's wrong in her decision to just get on with her preparations that day without stopping. And actually, Mary was right. To turn aside from all the things that need to be done, to take time out and give her full attention to the words of Jesus. That's what Jesus wants from us. But actually, more than that, Jesus is saying that it is the one thing in our day that is needed, the one day that is essential. Now, I know that if we're a Christian here tonight, if we know and love Jesus personally, then we probably know that it's a good thing to listen to Jesus, that it's a good thing to read our Bibles every day and so on. But actually, I've realized in preparing this talk that I don't find it very easy to believe Jesus when he says that it's the one thing that I need to do every day. I know that there are lots of things that I should do as a Christian, but that this is the one thing I need to do in terms of listening to him was quite a shock. Because if I realized that, if I believed Jesus that it's the one thing I need to do every day, then listening to him would be the one thing I would never stop doing. I'd never fail to do. So more than turning up to work, more than putting on makeup, more than going to the gym, I would prioritize listening to Jesus. But before we start planning how our daily routine might need to change, we first need to be convinced of why it's so important to listen to him. Otherwise, listening to Jesus, reading the Bible, will just become another thing we try and squeeze in to an already busy day. So why do we need to listen to Jesus? Well, first of all, we need to realize who he is. And we know that we're far more likely to listen, to pay attention to a personal email from the head of our company than one of those really annoying spam emails that you get first thing on a Monday morning and that your thumb automatically moves to the delete button. Yeah? So how we respond to someone shows what we think of them. And the verses we're looking at tonight is just a very tiny portion in Luke's gospel. Basically, Jesus is saying, listen to me. But those verses come after 9 whole chapters of Luke, of Jesus' identity being revealed. And the previous chapter, chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus' disciples hear God's voice speaking from heaven. And speaking about Jesus, the voice says, this is my son, my chosen one, listen to him. This is my son, my chosen one, listen to him. So God himself commands us to listen to Jesus because of who he is. And in God calling Jesus his son, God is giving Jesus a royal title that comes with God's full authority and backing. The title Chosen One refers to a specific person that God had been promising to send for hundreds of years. And that someone, God said, would be God himself. He'd be sent to put right everything that's ever gone wrong in this world. He'd be sent to deal with all the suffering, all the death, all the despair that make every day quite difficult to live in. And he would start off by dealing with the very root cause of everything that's gone wrong, which is mankind's rejection of God. When Jesus Christ is born in the beginning of Luke's gospel, people at the time begin to make the connection and they recognize that Jesus is the one the prophecies have been talking about. And there's a lovely prophecy that Luke mentions, and it says, this person would be sent by God to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So someone would come to bring light. Another prophecy that I love says that God's people should no longer live in fear, but in holiness and righteousness before God all their days. So for hundreds of years, people had been waiting for this one person that God would send who would deal with everything that was wrong in the world. And when Jesus was born, people began to connect these prophecies with him. And as Jesus grew up, he himself claimed to be that one person. And his teaching and his actions backed that up. So this man began to do the kind of things that only God can do. He began to get rid of evil. He began to heal the sick. He began to raise people from the dead. But Jesus also claimed God's very authority to forgive people their rejection of him. And even as Jesus is speaking these very words to Martha, you'll see in verse 38, it says, now as they went on their way. In this part of Luke's gospel, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And it's not just a random kind of detail. He's on his way to Jerusalem to die for Mary and Martha's rejection of God, to take their place so that instead of being punished by God, they can know God as their Father. Jesus Christ speaks and acts with God's full authority. He is the one sent by God to bring in God's rule of peace, love, and forgiveness into a broken world. And therefore, God is saying that the right response is to listen to Jesus Christ. To reject his words, to refuse to listen, is to reject God himself. So can you say that if we actually realize who Jesus is, then it's going to have to change the way we think about listening to him. If Jesus is speaking the very words of God, then his words are more important than any other in our day. If Jesus has authority over everything, then we need to be listening to his perspective on what's important. What he says about how we care for families and friends, what he says about how we do our work, about how we spend our money, about how we express love to others. His thinking matters more than what anybody else thinks. And we all take in lots of different kinds of words every day, don't we? So you hit the office, and maybe on the way you pick up the metro, on the way home you pick up London Light. You get your emails, you get your texts, you get your phone calls, you get your television, you get your magazines, you've got your well-meaning advice from friends and your family and so on. So we have lots of conflicting voices every day telling us how to live our lives, trying to persuade us to put our security in lots of different things. But Jesus' words are the only words that come with the authority, the truth, and the love of God. His words are the only words that can really change people, bringing them the strength and grace of God in a hectic world. That means that day by day, we need to keep listening to him, filling our hearts and minds with what is true and right, because otherwise we'll just end up getting distracted or deluded into thinking that other things are more powerful or more important than he is. So then finally, what does it actually mean to listen to Jesus? And on the one hand, you might think, bless you, Helen, I know fine well what it means to listen to somebody. But I was thinking that actually there's a difference between hearing and listening. You know that full well because you know how frustrating it is to try and tell somebody something that you really care about or really important, and you know full well that they're not really listening to you. You know, they can make the, yes, I guess so. But you know full well that their thoughts, their mind is somewhere else. They're not really listening to you. And if we look at what Mary is doing in these verses, this is a picture of what it means to listen to Jesus. So despite the bustle and the noise of everything going on around her, Mary takes the time to properly stop and sit at Jesus' feet. She gives him her full attention. She's not distracted by anything else because she wants to make sure that what he's saying to her really gets into her, really sinks down into her mind and her soul and her thinking so that it changes her. And listening to Jesus is so important that Jesus says lots of things in Luke's gospel about what that means in practice. He says that it means not just hearing his words, but putting them into practice, taking them on board and obeying them. It means hanging on to what Jesus says as the most important words that you'll hear in your day. It means not letting the pressures or the pleasures of life convince you otherwise. It means keeping on believing Jesus, even when you're tempted to think otherwise. And I know that when life is frantic, it can be hard to find time to listen to anyone properly, let alone God. And I know that reading the Bible can often feel like just another task in the day, or we could get a bit dry, or it's just quite hard. For all our good intentions, it's quite hard. But surely that if it's this Jesus who speaks to us through the Bible, the one sent by God to bring love and life and truth into a dark world, then surely setting aside time to properly stop and listen to him, letting his word sink into us, must be the one thing in our day that we never miss. That doesn't mean that we don't still get on and do the other things we have to do in our day. We do have real responsibilities, and it pleases God that we do them, that we care for our families, that we do our work well, and so on. But it does mean we need to make sure that the one thing we don't fail to do is to listen to Jesus properly. I was thinking, you know, I could spend 5 minutes going into lots of different techniques or situations where you could read the Bible and so on, or you can maybe, you know, get one of these tiny Bibles and read it on the tube, or you could listen to sermons through your iPods. But I thought, actually, that's going to look different for each one of us, depending on our commitments at home or in the office and so on. And I guess, though, that the starting point for change for each one of us is to realize, actually, that nothing is more important or essential in our day than listening to Jesus. And for me, that's such a massive thing and such a massive change in thinking that I think, actually, if that's the one thing we take away from tonight, that then will begin to work itself out for each of us differently. In terms of Martha, though, I guess for Martha to really listen to Jesus would have meant maybe just actually giving a quick hoover around the room, maybe a quick flick of the duster, and just ordering in pizza for the day, and then just curling up and listening to Jesus. And that would have meant that instead of her getting frazzled and frustrated, she'd have ended up with the right perspective on everything else. That would have meant that Martha would have walked in Monday morning into her workplace confident of who Jesus is, confident that he is in control of her day, that he loves her, that he's with her, confident that Jesus is more powerful than anything she'd have to face, that he's in control of the credit crunch, job losses, and rising household bills. And as she walked into her office, she'd be confident of who she was too. See, she wouldn't enter her office as just another PA, a secretary, a manager, or an analyst. Martha would walk in knowing that she is first and foremost a child of God, his servant, and that therefore she would know that above anything, her job was to serve him and please him. And Martha wouldn't have got annoyed at her sister Mary, but instead she would have encouraged her to keep listening to Jesus wherever possible. And for us, Jesus Christ knows that our days are pressure-filled, stressful, and busy. He knows that we've got lots of things we have to do. Yet still he says that in the middle of a frantic and uncertain city week, he still says, "Woman, I know that you're anxious and troubled about many things, but still just the one thing is necessary. So choose that which is good." So let's make it our top priority to keep listening to Jesus and just trust him to give us the strength and grace to cope with everything else we have to go through. Thank you.